Indianapolis. John Schmelk, joined by Tom Rock, covers the Giants from Newsday. Tom, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing terrific, John. It's always good to see you in Indianapolis.
Absolutely. It's always fun to get out here. It's, you know, people just, you see the events on TV, but it's really a 4 or 5 day NFL convention. Everybody that's around the league, scouts, owners, general managers, coaches, agents, reporters, agents, everyone is here.
That's basically what it is the NFL's annual convention instead of the combine. To see it, how it's grown just in the past couple of years, you know, right behind the camera here, they're set up for the bench press that they're going to let the fans come in and see. There's so much public access, and you can go over there and run the three cone drill if you want, and have all the kids do all the events that the players are going to go through. So it really has taken on a life of its own from that early beginnings when it was just basically to kind of get the guys a medical check.
Yeah,
before the draft, so they could check out how everybody's knees and elbows were doing.
Even Radio Row, we used to just be a row of about 6 to 10 tables in the hallway of the concourse in the stadium. Now they have an entire assembly hall, I guess
phrase. We have a big room here.
And you got the press conferences behind us. You got about 24 teams here with tables. So it really is a huge process. All right, we'll touch on the combine and the draft a little bit, Tom, but I want to focus with you on what we heard from Ben McAdoo earlier today.
Right.
Not surprising. Ben held his cards very close to the vest, didn't exactly divulge a ton. What was the big thing you took out of what Ben McAdoo said to the media today?
The big thing I took out was that that they want to keep the defense getting better. I think that was the key thing, and that was something that they weren't able to do with the offense, going from bridging from 15 to 16. Obviously there was a big fall off. So he's very concerned, it seems, about having the defense continue to get better, even if it's 1% better. He said he wants them to continue to push and get better. So that includes bringing a lot of the same people back, and Jason obviously is going to be back in some form or another in 2017. There's a couple of other guys out there. I heard you just before the break talking about DRC a little bit and his future with the team, and Hankins certainly is his future's a little muddy right now. It depends, I think, a lot on that salary cap space that gets freed up with Jason. So But I think that was the big thing, is that he wants to keep that defense from falling into the trap that the offense had of going from the top of their game to taking a couple of steps backwards.
And I think a good place to start is Jason Pierre-Paul. The Giants placed a franchise tag on him. We don't know the exact number that tag is worth just yet, but we have a neighborhood. We know what the deal is. And I think, is it fair to say, Tom, in your opinion, that both JPP and the Giants would really prefer a long-term deal to get done relatively soon, so he's not playing on that one-year deal at that very high number?
Well, the Giants have never really had anybody play like that. I think Jumbo Elliott was the only other guy that they've had back in the 80s. since then, the Giants have always used the franchise tag as sort of a placeholder, as a way to buy some more time with a guy who's going to hit the market, and to keep him in under Giants control while they were still negotiating on these long-term deals. I think even 2 years ago when they had Jason on the franchise tag, that was probably the plan. I don't think anybody thought that he was going to go all the way to July 15th to sign that one-year deal. It wound up being that obviously July 4th was a bigger, much bigger date than July 15th in
that
case.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I think the plan here is to kind of get together and hammer out a long-term deal that's certainly more cap-friendly than the $17 million guaranteed in 2017.
Well, and you mentioned that. How important then is it, do you think, for the Giants, and how much motivation, how much is it a priority then for them to get something done before free agency starts March 9th,
right,
so they know exactly the type of funds they have to either bring back Jonathan Hankins or look at other free agents?
Well, it's certainly, there's two ways of looking at it. You say, well, the Giants took away all the leverage from Jason Pierre-Paul, but JPP certainly has enough leverage that he could show up at any day and sign that paper and say, I'm in, $17 million, pay me.
Not a bad payday, by the way.
Not a bad payday, but it would also hurt the team. It would sort of cripple the team, and that's also something that's probably in the back of his mind that he doesn't want to do. I think it's the best case scenario for both teams is before next week to get something done. I'm sure they're going to meet this week in Indianapolis here with his representatives and talk about things and see where they're at and trying to get closer to a deal. My guess is it'll probably be similar to last year where they signed him. Last year wound up being a one-year deal right before the start of free agency. My guess is that it'll be about the same timeline this year.
How about Jonathan Hankins? How do you see his market? What do you see the chances of him coming back? And how much does this JPP decision have a domino effect on Mr. Hankins?
Yeah. I know a lot of people are very, very big on bringing Hankins back at any cost. They're a little probably burned from Linval Joseph and still have memories and visions of him.
Linval Joseph, post-traumatic stress.
And for a guy that size, that's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
They're looking at him and saying, you know, we need him. I don't know. I'm not so sold on that. I think Hankins is a good player. I think you can find somebody to go in there and stand next to Snacks and be the other defensive tackle and come out on third and longs and have another defensive end slide in there and things like that. I think Hankins is a good player. I don't think he's a Linval Joseph. I don't think you need to break the bank for him. It'd be nice to have him back. He's a good player. You invested a second round pick in him. I think he played well for them, but I'm not in the camp that says that he's the guy that they need back to keep things moving forward.
Do you think to some extent he played out of position last year and he'd be better playing the spot that Snacks played, or do you think he can be a three-technique defensive tackle, which we ideally would like to be able to get to the quarterback a little bit more?
Right, right. Yeah, I thought he was going to get to the quarterback a lot more than he did.
Yeah, so did I.
Just because of the attention that Snacks got. I think they're so those things are so subtle on the inside sometimes that those guys could do a lot. I don't think that necessarily playing in or out of position is such a big thing for those defensive tackles.
All right, Keenan Robinson, another free agent the Giants have on defense, and he was a pretty important part of their defense. He was on the field on pretty much all their passing downs, third and long, you know, second and long, you know, situations like that. He played right next to Jonathan Casillas. That was their most common linebacker combination. How important is it for them to bring him back, or do you think they can find someone to give them similar production elsewhere in free agency?
I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what they think of B.J. Goodson, because he's going to be he's certainly the middle linebacker of the future, and whether or not that entails three down middle linebacker or being sort of the just the run stopper guy, I think that really hinges on what they do with Keenan Robinson. I thought Robinson played really well. I thought he made a lot of really strong plays. He was good on help special teams and did a lot of good things. So he's not going to break the bank. You can bring him back. He knows the system. He certainly knows the players, and I think he'd be a good fit here.
And, of course, the elephant in the room, of course, and Ben was asked about this, is the offensive line.
Yeah.
We've talked about it all offseason. We talked about it all during the season. And
do you get many calls on the offensive line?
Just a couple. Just a couple. What's the solution here? Neither Jerry Reese or Ben McAdoo will commit to Eric Flowers as being the left tackle this year. They said he's an offensive lineman. We'll figure out where he fits best as we go through the offseason program. So I guess my question for you is, if they do want to try to find somebody that can be legitimate competition for him at the left tackle position, where are they going to find it? Because famously, we've heard it a million times, not a great draft class for offensive tackles. And frankly, left tackles don't become free agents that often.
Right.
It really doesn't happen. So what do you think the best path here is for the Giants to try to figure out that left tackle spot?
Well, as I've told other people, I don't think the answer to their offensive line woes is here in Indianapolis. I don't think that drafting somebody and having them come in and be unproven and starting over again in that kind of a situation is going to help anything. I think I'm of the belief that I would not be surprised if they started the season with Eric Flowers at left tackle. I think it's most teams look at it as a 3-year investment in a first round pick. This is his third year. He's going to have to show up, but I think that they'll give him at least the start of this year. Now, do they go out on the free agent market and try and find a starting left tackle? I'm sure they'll be looking at a lot of them.
Who do you think could be an option?
Well, I don't know. Whitworth.
Do you think Whitworth's going to hit? He's a guy that's been his whole year in Cincinnati, and he said he wants to stay. He also said he wants to win. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think the chances he leaves? And how much is he going to cost? That's
how much
the question.
Is he going to cost?
Yeah.
You know, he's
and
old.
He's 35.
He's 35.
Yeah.
You know, Okung, Russell Okung is another option. If he hits the market, you know. It becomes a situation, John, like it's almost like a manager in baseball where the pitcher is struggling, and so you have a guy in a bullpen. So you just want to get the guy in the bullpen in. You don't care what the guy in the bullpen is doing. You just want to make a change, right? And so sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, to make a change just for change's sake and to get Eric Flowers out of there, you know, And playing right tackle, by the way, is no easy feat in this league either.
Yeah, there's no guarantee sliding to the right side is going to fix things.
It's not going to change things. You know, he's been cursed since he came into the league. This isn't supposed to be where he was. This is supposed to be his first year at left tackle when they drafted him, right? Because he was going to come in and play right tackle for a year, maybe two, and then slide over to left tackle, become the left tackle of the future. Instead, he became the left tackle of the present, and it never really connected. He did some good things. He's done some bad things.
Yeah.
Some very visible bad things, and you know it just hasn't worked out. So I don't know what the answer is. I do believe though, and Ben touched on this a little bit earlier. I don't know if you talked about it on the program yet, that you don't have to have the best offensive line in the league to win. You just have to have a functional offensive line. There's a lot of dirty pockets, as he said, around the league,
yep.
and there's a lot of teams that struggle with this and you know try and find answers in other ways. You know, the Giants don't have the most mobile of quarterbacks. He's not gonna elude pressure in that way. Ben talked a little bit about it. You know, Eli not planting his back foot as much and waiting for those receivers and that's part of the problem too. So. He gets a little gun shy sometimes when he starts to get hit. So the whole thing has to come together, obviously, and it has to get better. To what degree, you know, does it have to go from one of the worst to one of the best in the league? I don't think so.
It has to be good enough.
It just has to be functional.
Right.
You know, it just has to be good enough to get the job done. And now, of course, there's going to be lapses and there's going to be breakdowns in protection, and everybody else's offensive line in the league always looks better than the one that you're looking at, because you're not watching it day to day, snap to snap.
Of course,
that's just the way it is. But I think they have a pretty good core in the middle with Weston Richburg and Justin Pugh. I thought John Jerry actually played pretty well last year,
especially in pass protection.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he came back. Eric's the big fish there, and he's got to start to step up.
Want to take a couple phone calls with me, Tom?
Yeah, sure.
All right,
go.
Here we go. Let's go. We got Jason in New Jersey. He wants to add something on the offensive line. Shocking, Jason.
Wow.
What's going on, pal? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, you guys did hit the point with Eric Flowers. He does need a lot of work. It doesn't make a difference if we slide him to the right tackle because it's the same thing. Like that game against the Cowboys at the home stadium, he just like let the right end in and hit Eli. Like no tomorrow. You know, and he needs a couple more time and needs a lot of work. You know?
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things Ben said today was that he's confident in Eric putting in the work, and I, you know,
can he move to guard? Do you think someday? Do you think is he too tall to be a guard in this league, or do you think he could do it?
It's not that easy, you know. It's a different position. You know, we talk about moving from right to left and the changes that are involved there. To move from tackle to guard is a completely different position. It's a different skill set. It's like saying, well, can a tight end play wide receiver? You know, they do some of the same things. They block, they catch, they run routes, but it's in a different arena. And so to move to guard, and I think Justin has been one of the few who's been able to do that successfully, and he did it well. And the Giants have had actually some guys who have been able to do that. David Deal, I'm thinking of right off the top of my head, who've been able to play both of those positions. But you know, I don't think Flowers is a guard. I think he's too big, first of all. He'd get in the way You know, not to be
on passing lanes.
Not to
I
be
mean,
too
he's,
blunt
he's
about
6'7".
It. He's, you know, to have a guy like that standing in front of the quarterback is an obstacle. I think he's meant to be a tackle.
All right, Tom. Final question before we let you go. I want to ask you about the tight end position.
Yeah.
What's the answer here? I mean, they've tried to kind of figure it out the last few years. Will Johnson got hurt beginning of the year. Is this a deal where they're going to try to find a tight end that can do everything, or are they going to try to partition this with an H-back / fullback, then you bring in a tight end you can spread out on third down? How do you think the best way is for the Giants to move forward here?
I believe that Will Johnson's injury was one of the biggest of the year for the Giants.
I agree.
It kind of crippled the whole running game and the passing game a little bit, and I think they were waiting for him to come back and believing that he was going to be the key, and it just never happened, and so they kind of cut bait before the season even started and put him on IR. I said earlier that I don't think the answer to the offensive line question is in Indianapolis. The answer to the tight end question may be here. And there's some pretty intriguing guys. You look at O.J. Howard and Njoku from Miami. You know, tremendous athletes. You know, really big wingspans and high motor guys that you can kind of throw the ball to, and that's the kind of player that Eli has always thrived with as a tight end, as a guy that he can hit down the seam. Even Donnell. Yeah, he was a little limited in terms of once he got the ball, but he was able to run those routes and catch the ball. So I think that, you know, you look at Will Tye, and he seemed like all of the passes that he caught were facing the quarterback. He never caught the ball going.
He was never on the move, right?
He was never on the move. He was always finding a soft spot and settling in and catching the ball. And I think he needs a bigger body, a taller body to get down the field. You know, we mentioned Howard and Njoku. You know, the kid from Michigan who tore his ACL, maybe he falls in the second round.
Yeah.
I don't know how ready he'll be to start the season, but, you know, he seems like the type of a full of a tight end that the Giants have had in the past and had success with.
Tom, great stuff. We appreciate it.
John,
thanks so much.
John, enjoy Indianapolis. Get over to St. Elmo.
I already did last night.
Oh,
it's done.
Did you have the shrimp cocktail?
Come on. Of course. I'm surprised I can still speak today after the shrimp cocktail, but it was delicious.
Yeah, hit the spot.
Oh, it was good. Cleared all the sinuses out.
That's
it was perfect.
Good.
After you get off the plane.
It's not the combine until you get the horseradish.
Absolutely. That's Tom Rock from Newsday. Plenty more. We'll come back, take some of your calls, and